They had two daughters, Mary 4 years young and Joyce not quite two. Now, please follow this chain of events carefully. The career soldier father got custody of Mary. The young mother got custody of Joyce. And the parents went their separate ways. As time passed, the separated sisters became even more separated, because Joyce the younger was adopted within a year. And Mary, well, she was shuffled from one distant relative to another until at 16 she just struck out on her own. Neither girl remembered that somewhere in the world she had a sister. But this is the rest of the story. Mary eventually got into trouble, drug trouble. About a year ago, she was brought up on drug charges, sentenced to a term at a South Carolina women's correctional center. In other words, women's prison. Last August 26, Mary was sitting in the detention area of that prison, where she made the acquaintance of another former drug abuser, a repeat offender, who had already been in and out of the same prison. And the two girls started talking, they became friends, and shortly thereafter, they were assigned the same quarters. So they spent more time together. And soon the guards and other inmates began commenting about how the two girls looked so much alike. In fact, one day in the gymnasium, somebody called out to Mary and her friend, "Hey, your dad must have been the milkman." Well, Mary's friend got angry and stalked off, but Mary stood there, and she started thinking, what if this other girl really were a long-lost sister? All right, last September 27, Mary contacted an old family friend, a woman who had known Mary's father, somebody she had always called Aunt Rebbe. And Aunt Rebbe asked if by any chance this girlfriend's name was Joyce. And after Mary answered in the affirmative, there was a brief silence on the other end of the line. After which Aunt Rebbe said, "Well, dear, I suppose it's time you were told." Mary indeed did have a younger sister who had been adopted, a sister named Joyce Ann, who might very well be the girl Mary had just met behind bars. Well, Mary ran immediately to Joyce. Excitedly, the two girls asked permission to do some checking, and the impossible turned out to be true. And thus were sisters Mary and Joyce, once separated by a gulf of 2.5 decades, now incredibly reunited, and left to ponder the otherwise similar direction their lives had taken. It was almost too coincidental that their separate but similar drug problems should have landed them in prison, where they met, and that in the course of investigating their relationship, in the course of tracing their roots, they discovered one thing more. When their biological parents had separated, their mother was pregnant with a son. And that son also eventually was adopted. So now, in 1989, sisters Mary and Joyce have been reunited with a younger brother they never knew they had, a younger brother named Frank. And he will be getting better acquainted with the sisters he never knew he had. That is, after he gets out of prison where he is serving time for the misuse of drugs. And now, you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guest is Danny Morgan, owner of Paso Tile and Stone. He loves to sing, by the way, I understand from his commercials. we're going to hear his rags-to-riches story, how he bootstrapped himself to success. We want to talk a little bit about how he views the local business environment in Slo County in particular, especially when we talk about private economic development. You know, that's a big topic on this show all the time. And then on the other side of the break, We're going to talk about it, another venture that Danny's involved in called Innova Global Fund. It's about micro lending in Kenya and around the world, and it's such a serious topic that I just got advice that I'm going to have Danny's compliance officer on the show with us after the break. So because they don't trust him to say the right thing.
Exactly. Barry, thank you so much. It's so good to be here. Thank you. What an honor to be here. KPRL has been very good for our business. Mm-hmm. And when you said Paso, Tile, and Stone, you always have to say where elegance is made affordable right after that, which is what? Love is grand, but divorce is 50 grand.
Or 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. California law. More compliance.
Well, so anyway, folks, you can call in with questions or comments or text 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Danny, you know, your personal journey from rags to riches. I mean, I don't want it to go to your head, but you're kind of an Horatio Alger story. You grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in Buena Park. Most people have only been to Disneyland
right.
in Buena Park. They don't know that there really it was and is a bad section of Buena Park. But your father, I think your grandfather, too, were in the stone and tile business, and you kind of got the bug for it. Tell us about how all that happened.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Barry. You know, my dad did tile for 50 years. I started helping him when I was 9 years old. I'm 63 now, so do the math. I love this business. I've been doing it a long time. My mom's brother, my uncle, learned from my dad. He started a business called Tile World, the world's largest tile store. That's what he claimed to be. And he went and bought a bunch of junk in Italy, sold it for $5, you know,
yeah.
And he made a lot of money. And so my dad was a mechanic. He loved to install tile, and I learned a lot from him. And he was an artist. And so I loved doing it since a young age. And then I thought, wait a minute, my uncle's making a lot more money than my dad is. Why don't I do both? Mm-hmm. So I opened a store. And
in Buena Park?
Well, no. I have a store in Costa Mesa right by called Newport Stone, right by Triangle Square, Nike Town down there. And I had the Balboa Bay Club down there. And then I had several stores. San Juan Capistrano, I had stores in Arizona. And then I'll tell you later how I got to Paso Robles.
Yeah. Okay. And then what happened after that? I mean, so were you ever involved in the actual installation of the stone and all that kind
Absolutely,
of stuff?
Absolutely. My whole life.
Oh, really?
Since I was 9 years old, I started grouting, to start making mud. They call that cement mm-hmm. in Atascadero. And so we floated all the showers. We did everything proper. So I grew up doing tile my whole life. I thought, well, I could do tile my whole life and never see the world. So I joined the Marines.
Really?
Right out of high school, joined the Marine Corps.
And when was that? What year was that?
1981.
All right. So they were just it was the beginning of the volunteer army.
Way military. Back before sushi was called bait. Okay, so joined the Marines, got to see the world.
Places did you go?
I went to Okinawa, Japan, Korea, saw the Philippines, saw Hawaii, but I was in Okinawa for 2 years, and then became a Christian in the Marine Corps. How about that? That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then so right out of the Marine Corps, I went to Bible College. Went to Chicago, the Harvard of Bible Institutions, Moody Bible Institute, which is a non-denominational school. So I went there, but my whole life I was doing tile.
Really?
You know, during summers, whatever, and I never got out of that. But I'm a missionary to the contractors.
So how did you end up here in the Central Coast? What was that journey like?
Well, my wife and I, we rode our Harley from Costa Mesa to Paso for our honeymoon. And so we were here for 10 days. Well, it was a Morro Bay. Morro Bay is freezing. What are we doing? So every day we'd ride to Paso. We go, wow, we love Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a referral from somebody in Santa Isabel Ranch. It was a big, huge monster project. Mm-hmm. Took me a year to do it. So I had to rent a house to do the project. And while I was here, I kept getting referrals to do other jobs, wineries, houses, and such. And so I go to these other local tile stores, and these whippersnappers are trying to charge me $7.80 for a tile that I sell for $4. And I told the guy, I said, look, I can sell you the same tile for $4, drive to Anaheim, tile mile down there, 300 tile stores down there, right? So, and I did a bunch of little showrooms. And I could sell you the same tile for $4, drive to Anaheim, drive back, and still make a profit. He said to me, go ahead. I'm like, what? So that made me mad. So I opened a store. Totally Tile goes out of business right during COVID.
Right.
You know, they retire. And then, so I opened up across the street where actually we're totally how it used to be. So now we've expanded to Templeton. I have a slab yard. We have a granite factory we fabricate. And then, Barry, you don't know this since I talked to you last, but we just opened, we expanded on Paso Robles Street, 1101 and 1103, Paso Robles Street, across the street from Site 1.
Okay.
We have two more showrooms there.
Really?
Indoor slab yard. And we have about 250,000 feet of the luxury vinyl in stock, and about 150,000 feet of tile from Italy, from all around the world.
So tell me, how do you, and again, I want to say this nicely, so don't interrupt me yet. How do you compete with the big box stores? And then again, I want to say I don't have anything against big box stores, except when I go to, I own stock at Home Depot, but I can never find anything when I go there. But the point is they employ a lot of people too. Okay. But that being, and they're good to have in the economy and all that kind of stuff. But how do you compete? What's your big, you know, and this is something that all, I think, entrepreneurs ask themselves, you know, how do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace? What's the word I'm looking for? I guess it's a differentiator. What sets us apart? What sets you apart?
All right. Now, for compliance reasons, that's why you have to say you, full disclosure, you own stock. The plus thing is I don't own stock, so I'm going to tell you my heart, my soul, and my liver. Okay. they buy a lot, how do you say it in the modern vernacular, cheap stuff, because they buy containers for super cheap. They sell for super cheap because sometimes it is super cheap. But I say sometimes, that's a little disclaimer. There's the asterisk, because sometimes there's some nice stuff there. Mm-hmm. And for your compliance purposes, they do, and they display it well, mm-hmm. objectively speaking. Mm-hmm. But there is a reason why it's super duper cheap, because it is inferior. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff from importing from different countries. Being diplomatic, we don't want to say out loud, but reality is it's inexpensive for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's companies out there that, I don't know if I'll get any credit for this, but Dow Tile, I've been buying from Dow Tile since the 60s, before you were born, Barry.
Yeah.
By the way, how's that Jared Tall work?
It's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But there's a lot of blessings in doing the research. And now here's what I appreciate. A lot of people could go to those box stores, but they end up in my store. And I appreciate that, because they're looking for quality.
Mm-hmm.
They're also looking for experience. Do you think anybody that's been doing tile and stone for 53 years works at Lowe's or Home Depot? Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have said box stores. Sorry about that. No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
But we bring in a lot of experience, and our motto is elegance made affordable for a reason. This is not baloney. We kick everybody's butt on price. We have all these years of buying power, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've been buying from these companies for years. So, and when we buy bulk, you get a better discount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got pallet discount, you got truckload discounts. So I pass a lot of these discounts on to the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
I support contractors. These contractors have been working their butts off for 40 years. Why in the world should Mrs. Johnson, forgive me, Mrs. Johnson, but why is she worthy of getting the same price as a contractor who's been working his butt off for 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
I protect. You have a show called Protecting What Matters. Okay, that's I protect what matters to them. Is contractors need to make money, and so we protect them. The designer, the developer, all those people in the industry, I protect them.
Mm-hmm.
We protect them.
All right, and so you, in a lot of regards, so your primary customer, would you say your primary customers are contractors?
No, we have about 40 contractors that regularly buy from us.
Okay.
Thank you, contractors, for doing that. We appreciate you so much. But we have a lot of retail customers, and I never charge retail. I can't even charge retail.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me paying minimum wage. I don't even know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not nice. So we have a lot of retail customers that walk in every day. And we track. How'd you hear about us? KPRL. A lot of KPRL.
Kevin
listeners.
Will like hearing that.
Yes, a lot of KPRL listeners. And so, drive-by.
So tell me, so we asked you that one. You know, so two of the big issues and themes that I touch on quite a bit on Protecting What Matters, and I talk to people like John Pashong about it and other, you know, supervisors and business, you know, government people that come in. Unfortunately, I mean, we have a kind of a, a problem in this county. Too much of our economy is based on other people's money, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, I mean, how do you view things right now? I mean, you know, what are you hearing from your contractor clients in particular how are people feeling? How are they feeling?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. And this is a paradox, Barry, because mm-hmm. reality is we want our neighborhood to be blessed. Mm-hmm. Yet, we don't want people like me transplanting from Orange County to here. So what I don't like about people like me is me, you know? So I've been here almost
I was going to get to that question, but that's no, just kidding. We all came from somewhere, Danny.
That's true. But it's a secret that we don't want anybody to expose it. Yet, we want our city to be blessed. Mm-hmm. We want our economy to grow, yet we don't want it to get too crowded. So I was talking to a contractor yesterday because I knew you were going to ask me this question. And so I asked about it. He is enthusiastically talking about how there's, you know, people sell a house for $2 million in San Jose and come here and they can buy and get a better value. Mm-hmm. And he's enthusiastic and everything. But I'm kind of mixed emotions about that, because although I want them to buy a used house and so I can fix it up and do all the remodeling and everything, that's good for me. But I want what's good for us. Mm-hmm. So that's the paradox. How do we grow our community and bless our community without overcrowding our community?
Right.
So I have the idea. I hope it works, Barry. Please affirm me. Why, you know how we say America first?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we say Paso first? Yeah. Why are people going to Bakersfield to buy other products, maybe for a little bit cheaper? It's not even cheaper, by the way, especially mm-hmm. at my store.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we buy locally and bless our local businesses?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Why are we going out of our communities so we could save a few cents when it actually hurts our community? That's just one of my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I have many, but this is only an hour show.
Well, we have time. Share a few more.
Well, I talk to a lot of contractors and developers, and I like the fact that we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing. We're always fearful of the traffic. And you don't even know what traffic is unless you're from Orange County.
No, well.
I used to live in Laguna Beach. I moved from Laguna Beach to here, and I couldn't even drive to Anaheim from Laguna. It would take 3 hours. It's like, that is dumb. That's a bad use of your time. So I'm never leaving. I love it here. This is my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rooted and grounded in here. And I have a lot of relationships. Customers become friends here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and family and contractors have been friends. We hang out together. We do things together. And I love the community. So I think all of us as business owners should think about that. How are we going to bless each other and keep it in the family? That's pretty much what I want to say about that.
Okay. What about, it's obvious that we have a downturn in the wine industry.
Yes.
in this area. And I was just talking to somebody, I won't mention who, but he's spending a lot of time pulling grape vines out of the ground for some of the big winery operations. So are you seeing any impact from your perspective on that?
No, but what I'm trying to do, just to practice what I preach, I'm buying more wine. I'm drinking a lot more wine. Just so you know. Okay.
You're such a giver.
I know. Someone's got to sacrifice. No, but in my business, I'm shocked at how much traffic we have every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I'm shocked, but I am. We have so many customers deep in our showroom, at our slab yard, where our cabinets are. We are, because we have a location in Templeton as well. We have mm-hmm. we have about 100,000 square foot area over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I am not seeing any downturn for my business. I think it's because we have new construction and we have a lot of remodeling going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you this. This is the last one on this, and then we'll move into, I know what you're really anxious to talk about, but... You know, I mean, one of the big areas of job growth in the United States is skilled blue-collar tradespeople.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, because we don't have enough, right?
Right.
And I did a little research. I don't know if you had a chance to look at what I sent you, but I mean, it's interesting to me that probably when you take into account student loans and all the stuff and lower wages at the beginning of the career and losing time and, you know, take getting a degree in underwater basket weaving,
right?
You know, and then deciding, what am I going to do? You know, that, you know, for a lot of people, young people in particular, starting in a trade would be a really, and you started in the trades yourself, and look at you, you know. So what are your thoughts on that? What are you seeing out there?
Well, what I'm seeing is there opportunities, you know, what the question that you didn't ask is, what about, how does this affect the AI, right?
Well, okay, right.
In this industry, we're not affected by AI. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't do fabrication or tile installation or et cetera with AI. Therefore, and I just put a lot of ads in the paper looking for people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about this market. But I pay really well.
So you have actual installers and things like that.
I do. We have fabricators. We have installers. We have, you know, CAD installers. We have LVP installers. Well, they're not the same guy. These are specialty mechanics. So I'm asking for people to come and interview, and I'm surprised at the lack of people that come in to interview with me.
Well, it's probably because of the lack of affordable housing in the county.
See?
Yeah.
There's the paradox.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, people who are younger can't afford. I mean, I know the hospitality industry, you know, has a hard time finding help because I was talking to Rick Veruni, who runs Allegretto. You know, he's the general manager over there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, people are, all these service people, even though they make pretty good money, they still have to, like, have roommates or rent a room from somebody. I said to him, I said, have you ever thought about building your own dormitory out in the back of the hotel so you could have your people living there? He said, we've thought about it. So, yeah. So it's just a shortage of people to do this work, really.
Yeah, we're trying to help the economy here and try to help the people. And I put an ad in the paper, several ads in the paper, general managers, showroom managers, warehouse managers. And I'm interviewing people, and I'm willing to pay. You know, also, you know, there is, we talk about college and people who get a degree and such. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend education. Mm-hmm. Okay, some of these people I interview with, they're not educated. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be super educated. I'll train you. I'm a blue-collar guy. Mm-hmm. With a little white trim. you know. But reality is, education, I highly recommended getting education, but you could do both.
All right, well, I hear the bumper music. When we return, we're going to talk about micro-lending and what you're doing with Innova. So, folks, stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. History made this afternoon as South Carolina's first ever female senator is sworn in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear?
Senator Chuck Grassley reading the oath to interim Senator Darlene Graham on Capitol Hill. She takes over the seat of her late brother, Lindsey Graham, who died last weekend at the age of 71. President Trump has backtracked on plans to charge ships to use the Strait of Hormuz. Fox's Jackie Einrich at the White House.
The president explained why he scrapped plans for the U.S. to charge a 20% fee to keep the Strait of Hormuz open. He said he doesn't fully agree with the concept of any country charging a fee for freedom of navigation.
The president says Middle Eastern countries would instead invest in the U.S. in exchange for use of the strait. America is listening to Fox News.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. I'm visiting with Danny Morgan, Paso Robles Tile and Paso Tile and Stone. You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. I know we have a guest calling in here shortly, Dan Smith, who's with Inova. And I want to talk about that. But let's take this minute here, Danny, to talk about, you just got back from Freedom Fest.
Yes.
And I went online and looked at that. And what an interesting looking program, because it was really like the nexus of conservative thought at some level and free market enterprise. Yeah, there were lectures on Adam Smith and all kinds of economic stuff. And I know you were there representing the Inova thing, but tell us a little bit about Freedom Fest and why other than the fact that you wanted to talk to people about Inova, but what were you doing there?
Oh my goodness, Freedom Fest was amazing. There's people from all over the world.
We got a caller that I asked to call back.
Okay.
Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. You got a question for Danny?
Hey, I wanted to call in and give props to my buddy down there, old Danny, and thank him for, you know, what he's done for me in my contracting business. And I wanted to say that, you know, Danny's one of those guys that goes out of his way to make your job easier for the builder. And I've got a number of projects under my belt with him. He just did a big Taj Mahal outdoor kitchen for me, and I got to tell you that his stone fabricators, they're the best. I could not believe how nice of a job his boys came in and did, and for the price that they did it. So,
well, I want to thank you, Dad. You're right on time. Kidding. It's not my dad. No, that's very nice of you. Thank you, Rob, for saying that. Those kind words. I recognize your voice. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for that's a good testimonial. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
And also on the line now, we have Dan Smith, who is with Inova. So, Dan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing good, and we're gonna sit tight while I finish hearing about Freedom Fest from Danny, and then I want to wade into this topic of micro lending. I actually, I don't know if Danny told you this, but I've been in the insurance business for 50 years, so I'm used to talking to compliance officers, and most of them keep me out of trouble. So I'm happy that you're on the call. So thanks for calling in. All right.
Well, thank you, Dan, for joining us. We're talking about Freedom Fest.
Yeah, finish that
Freedom
one up.
Freedom Fest was amazing. We had Steve Forbes was speaking. We had Kennedy was the MC.
Kennedy from woman
Fox?
Kennedy. Yeah.
She's a hoot. She's a hoot. She's so funny. She looks better in person, by the way.
Yeah.
I can't, hopefully I might watch.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Stick to the topic.
But all these conservatives spoke, and it was very interesting, very uplifting, very patriotic, all American, feel good about America, and, talk about investments and talking about how to help our country survive and bless our country. And so we had a booth there.
All right.
And we had the greatest booth there. We'll tell you all about it.
All right. Great. So I have two Dan. So Dan and Danny, and I don't know, yeah. Dan, I don't know if Danny showed you the research I did on micro lending. But actually I found it to be a very interesting topic. And while I know Inova does a lot of this, most of this micro lending in Kenya. It's really not something that is very foreign. I mean, there are micro lenders in the United States, some that actually work through the Small Business Administration and so on and so forth. So, and of course, companies like SoFi and what is the other one that advertise? Why Refi?
Yes.
They're all about micro lending on student loan debt. So, I mean, what's your background, Dan, in this area?
Hey, Dan, can I introduce you? Oh, can I introduce Dan? Because this is a great story.
Do I have a choice?
No, you do, but thank you so much for being gracious about it. Here's the blessing about Dan. Okay, I was the second lender in Inova, and this is almost 8 years ago.
Investor.
I was an investor, a lender to...
Okay,
to, okay. Okay. So here's what happened. I was at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this. How do we bless people in Kenya? The guy who founded it is named Barry. Dr. Barry is from Kenya. He's a pastor. He's got his doctorate degree in economics. And he invites me to this luncheon.
This is opposed to Rabbi Barry, which many people call me, actually.
Thank you, Rabbi. shalom to you. Well, I go to this meeting. I'm the second lender. And so now I'm excited about this, that we get to bless people out of poverty and help them grow their small businesses in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So now I go to this conference in San Diego. I'm brand new and as a lender. I'm all excited. I'm on fire. In comes Dan Smith. Dan Smith walks down the hall. I grab him and tell him, hey, sir, do you know anything about microfinance and microlending? Can I tell you more about it? He's all excited. Tell us the story, Dan.
Basically, I told him all about microlending and the fact that it benefits, two-thirds of it benefits women worldwide, that it's the largest in Asia, but it's growing, you know, leaps and bounds in all continents, and that, you know, a large population around the world rely on these microloans for everything from personal to business. And he was shocked. I was the only, first person to ever answer his question.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us, you know, and I'm looking at your FAQ on the website, so I will be able to test to see how compliant you are. tell us, what is it? So tell us, give us the background on Innova Global Fund.
Yeah, so Innova Global Fund actually started this year out of Positivity Lending. Now, and Positivity Lending was our private fund that we had for a number of years that started the microfinance program in cooperation with our Kenyan partnership, which is AfriCash Limited and Afresa Sako. So these names are our African entities, and these were our microfinance programs exist in Africa. So sometimes we've actually had people go look for Innova or Positivity and go, well, I don't see you in Kenya. I go, well, no, that's not the names we operate under. These are our Kenyan-based companies. So anybody can look up, you know, AfriCash and Afresa Sako and definitely see our African side of our business and actually the types of microloans that we provide, which is a really good source of education if somebody wants to learn a little bit about what microfinance is in Africa. On Innova's side, we basically became too big because of the opportunity that we were giving people this a nice opportunity to earn a nice return and also have an impact investment, an investment that actually, you know, it gets to people on the street. Many times when you're investing in stocks, mutual funds, whatever, do you really know where your money goes? I mean, we hear of these CEOs getting these big luxury lots and, you know, and yachts and planes and, you know, mega mansions. And, you know, our CEOs are putting everything back into the company. We're about people. And a social impact investment is truly about understanding your investment is really making a social impact, whether it's in the United States or around the world. And that is the beauty of what Innova Global Fund is. We're a social impact investment. Now, currently, Innova Global Fund does operate as a Reg D 506.
Okay, stop. This is getting too deep right now. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I want to back up. I mean, I get it. Yeah. So I actually, because this is the way I am, I actually did some research on the government in Kenya. Because I think of Kenya. I mean, and I think our president basically describe countries like Kenya pretty well, you know, and I won't say what he said, but I mean, it's a poor African nation, but it's relatively democratic. I mean, they have a their government structure is fairly, you know, akin to ours, you know, that it's representative government. I mean, I guess they have elections, and so it's they're trying to make it into. Whoops, we lost Dan. Dan, call back. So as I was saying, Danny, you know, it's a fair. I mean, I know you're going to be going there in a few months as well.
Going October.
Yeah, yes. But I mean, so explain. So in many regards, what happens here is that this country, I mean, they're trying to become at least second world at this point. There's Dan back.
Yeah.
Hi, Dan. Sorry about that. You got disconnected. But I didn't disconnect you. But we're just talking a little bit about the government in Kenya and that it's relatively stable and relatively democratic. And it's a country that is trying to at least move into the second world. And this is a way for people that are very poor to get small amounts of money to be able to make something that they can sell, like Danny does tile, right?
Well, that's a good segue, Barry, because reality is over there, $100 is like a month's salary for them. So we loan them $50. That's 2 weeks' salary. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the $100, my favorite analogy is a fruit stand. And they have their street vendors there. They're mm-hmm. just trying to make a living. You give them $100, that's inventory. Now they have 6 fruit stands. Their whole family's working, they're making income. Mm-hmm. And then we created a credit union over there. Mm-hmm. We have 20 locations already. Our goal is 100 locations mm-hmm. within the year, and which is a blessing for them. So now they have access to money.
Mm-hmm.
A mechanic needs $50 for...
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
I got the picture. So what I was fascinated about is how the micro loans are delivered to the consumer yes. in Kenya, and I don't know who wants to answer this question, and then how the repayment works, yeah. and what's the actual cost of money for these people, because I know it's going to sound horrifying to our listeners, but when you look at your credit card statement that you get,
right.
If you borrow money from your credit card company, that's a pretty horrifying amount too. So put it in that perspective. So, right. so I don't know who wants to answer this, but yeah, I mean, I was very fascinated with the really high tech way that this money is delivered to the consumer.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I've been to Kenya multiple times. So when I go to Kenya, they in many ways are more advanced than we are here in America, because every Kenyan uses a digital wallet called M-Pesa. Mm-hmm. And since 2007, this is the way the average Kenyan has been transacting money from a regular cell phone. We're not even talking an Android phone, because these are flip phones, standard mobiles. And so when they borrow money, everything is done digitally. Mm-hmm. They borrow using a text number. They can text to that. It asks how much. They request it. If they have good credit, they will get that amount. If they are a new borrower, they're going to get less. If they're part of a certain consortium, they're going to get a very low interest rate on that loan. If they're brand new, they're going to pay the higher amount till they start showing that they have a good repayment record.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole goal is to bring these micro borrowers into the credit union so that they can be formally banked and part of the formal financial institutions mm-hmm. of Kenya. And that's our goal. And microfinancing is the way. But they are very advanced. Actually, when I'm in Kenya, I got a bunch of shillings. I pull out shillings. They go, no, no, no shillings. M-Pesa. I had to put money on my phone to spend money in Kenya.
Yeah, yeah.
And I use a digital wallet here in America.
And again, just to, you know, put a bigger picture on this, again, in my research, I discovered countries like India are huge in this kind of, you know, digital currency, and also the micro lending. There's a whole bunch of countries that are
yes.
doing this. So it's
Philippines.
Yeah. It might sound foreign to us, but I think with cryptocurrency, I had a couple of guys on talking last week about cryptocurrency and you know the what is it called, stablecoin. And I mean, we're all heading in this direction, basically.
Well, let me tell you, Barry, this is the how we are distinguished from all others. And Dan's going to jump in about this too. But right now, and I want to talk about your previous guest, you know, Brett came in, Sabre Higgins, and they talked about how we could bless them. And this is a great way, and I'm going to introduce it. If you had, a lot of business owners are listening to this radio station right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. If any one of these business owners had 350,000 customers a day, do you think they would know how to plan their retirement? Okay, or generational wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they would. 350,000 customers a day. That's what we have at Enova that goes to us and wants to borrow money every single day. 350,000 customers. So if you knew that, mm-hmm. and you know that our investment, if you could make an investment into Enova that could fund the Sabin Hagen's That would be a blessing. How you do that? With an endowment. Mm-hmm. Instead of spending your retirement and spending all your money, like a lot of us are getting older. I'm 63. Okay, so if you could talk a little louder,
you're a mere sprout compared to me.
Well, the blessing is for my kids and my grandkids are set for life because of Inova. Mm-hmm. And I'm a doofus tile guy who got involved with this, who has generational wealth. And I'm telling everybody, this is people come in my store. I said, you want to hear a real blessing? Mm-hmm. And I tell them about Inova every single day, or every one of my customers. So if they could open up an account with them, you can have an endowment towards, you know, the Saber Hagens, for example, and for other different ministries. Mm-hmm. And instead of spending your retirement, you could make monthly payments and live on the income of your investment into Inova.
Okay. So, but to be an investor, and this is going back to our compliance officer here, so be calm here, Danny.
Okay.
So, again, not everybody should consider this. Who is you have to be a qualified investor to go into the Inova program or programs like Inova. So, what is it to be an accredited investor?
Yeah, the accredited investor is simply somebody that a business or an individual has a net worth of $1 million in retirement, or if they're making $200,000 a year in annual salary. So the requirements are not extremely large, and there are probably many people that don't realize they are actually accredited investors because of certain qualifications. They just don't realize they are. Mm-hmm. And that's something, a basic questionnaire we can, you know, help somebody if they're not sure. But it's pretty simple, but we do have to require that this year. Next year, we will allow anyone to participate in Inova because we will have a new fund available for that.
Okay. And so it'll be small for smaller investors is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. As the SEC classifies retail investors. So we will allow more individuals to come back into the program in 2027. We are working on that right now. We're pushing our attorney.
Okay.
The sooner the better for us, because we know it'll open up this opportunity for a lot more people.
And for listeners who have an interest in this, Danny may be selling something here, but I'm not selling something because I don't do investments for people. But the point is that, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, to me, it was very an interesting topic. And I suggest, you know, you're going to want to go to Inova. What's your website? What's the website again? Inova.
It's Inova GF. So it's INNOVAGF.com.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
And they can learn all about it. We have testimonials up there. They can connect with, want to have a demo, you know, have a presentation to learn. Just connect with us there, and we will definitely be glad. Right. Let us know that they heard it on your radio station, because we definitely want to let you know the outreach that you have.
That's great. But yeah, and again, what I wanted to mention was you have a very extensive FAQ on your website, which answers a lot of questions that people might have. So just before we go into break, which is going to be about a minute, give us an idea, Dan, of the types of investments that people, you know, how much, what's the minimum investment and what would they expect to get from that?
Our minimum investment to come in is $5,000. You'll earn a 12% annual return. And then at $50,000, an annual return. So it's pretty.
You just cut out, Dan, you just cut out there for a second.
I'm sorry. Again, it's a 12% return at $5,000 minimum. Mm-hmm. And that's three times what a CD is, and then it's a hold of 12 or 13 months, and then a 13-month hold at $50,000 will earn you 24%.
And do you have anything else you want to add to that, Danny, before we go into...
I do.
Yeah, you got about 10 seconds.
As we speak right now, I'm probably helping 10,000 people get out of poverty. That's a huge honor for me. And by the way, I'm making those percentages.
Yeah. Well, that's a hell of a testimonial. So when we return, we're going to be coming up on a break here. I see the clock, so I don't want to start a new topic because this is a very interesting one. So when we return, I want to talk a little bit about, just ask some more questions from Dan about, you know, just some more of the details. And if anybody wants to call in and ask any questions about this opportunity, please give us a call at 805-238-5775. Dan, I'm going to put you on hold here for about 3 minutes, okay? So stand by.
Sounds good.
Folks, I will be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks ending higher following a cooler-than-expected consumer inflation report. The Dow was dragged lower for much of the trading day by Dow member IBM, its stock tumbling 25% for its worst day on record after the company issued a profit warning due to a shift in customer spending from software to AI hardware and memory chips. However, the Dow was also boosted by Goldman Sachs. Its stock rose over 8% and hitting an all-time high after delivering a blockbuster earnings report. And oil gushed to a four-week high on the Gulf conflict, with West Texas Intermediate crude settling over $79 a barrel. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, and NVIDIA. The Dow decliners, IBM, Microsoft, and Amgen. The Dow rising 10 points, the Nasdaq higher by 234, S&P 500 up 28. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Ryan, what do painters do when it gets cold outside?
I don't know. What?
Well, they put on another coat, of course.
Seth, that joke needs some touch-up.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
We paint interiors year-round.
But fall and winter? That's when it's perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time for a fresh look.
We do full interior painting, residential and commercial. We work with your schedule.
Plus cabinet painting that makes old kitchens look brand new.
Clean lines, no mess, no stress.
From one room in your home to a whole office building, tasting room, medical suites, we've got you covered.
This season, call the Peek Brothers. I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
And everybody loves a great experience.
That's Peek Painting. P-E-E-K Painting.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Danny Morgan of Paso Tile and Stone and Dan Smith of Innova Global Fund. Call or text with questions 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. Before we wrap up today's show, I just wanted to let the listeners know, all of my listeners, that I'm going to be taking a six-week summer sabbatical. I'll be back on air September 1st. I'm already working on a guest lineup for September, so I will be back. Eric will be sitting in for me, along with maybe Darsha, and Kevin, of course, will always have alternate programming when one of us can't be behind the microphone for you. So I'm planning to spend a bunch of time at the fair this year, which I missed last year, and go to a few concerts. And so if I see you, I'll buy you a beer. Danny's going to be following me all over the fair.
I'm going to buy you a beer. We're going to miss you, Barry. But have fun on your sabbatical.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Thank you. So it's been a good 4-year run here of being on the air, but we need a little break. So we'll be doing that. So it'll be a bearless few weeks. All right. So before we go on, Dan, I know that Danny is chafing at the bit here to talk about the kind of impact these loans have for the people in Kenya. But are there any other compliance issues, any other disclosure issues that you'd like to make before we turn this over to Danny?
No, the beauty is that we're pretty straightforward. You can read our filing if you want. Get the numbers from the website. We probably have a link to the agri-finance, so people can understand and trust that we are SEC registered. We're filing all the rules and regulations.
But the social impact is really what is the most powerful. And that's what I got to see multiple times. I interview our borrowers. I'm the man on the street in Africa. And it's a very, it's so awesome to see the impact. Because some of these people I've been able to interview and watch their growth over the last few trips that I've made. And I've met everyone from a lady who started making, who by herself 4 years ago made coffins. Now she's got 8 employees, expanded and buying out the size of the space next to hers to expand her operations. Mm-hmm. And that's all due to us. You know, the Boda Boda driver, Freddie, you can see his testimony on our website.
What is a Boda Boda?
A Boda Boda is a motorcycle taxi. Now, everybody asks me if I would have ridden one of those, and I go, heck no.
Their Federal Express, their DoorDash is all on mopeds.
Really?
So they borrow
they
money.
Have DoorDash in Kenya?
Well, you know.
Well, let's just, yeah, I mean, you on the back of a motorcycle, no lie, a guy will have 8 feet wide of wood hanging off the back, and I literally shudder the type of accidents they had. I mean, we've seen guys haul, you know, 3 or 4 people on a bike just to save money on the ride. It's just astonishing.
You know, Dan, when we were at Freedom Fest and the social impact, people want to make a difference, Barry, in this world. They do. The people with money, there's a lot of places to put their money. But when we said that we're a Reg D 506C, they lit up because now they know that we're going to be above reproach with compliance, and they make a social impact, mm-hmm. and they can make money on their money. That's a win-win. So how many opportunities do we talk about that's a win-win? Now, you talked about SoFi or Wi-Fi.
Why Refi?
Now, if you see those commercials, and I like Larry Elder. You know, I like him a lot. But reality is, if you look at his rates for 5 years, Dan, these are more than double immediately, okay? So it takes 5 years for you to get those rates from those guys.
But what kind of default rate, Dan, do they experience on this stuff, on these loans?
Yeah, so what we have in Kenya is we have a 93% on-time repayment rate.
Really?
These are 30-day microloans. So 7% of our people do not pay within that first 30 days. About 50% pay within the next 30 days, and then half of that. So we end up with an actual overall in the year with a less than 1% loss on our total losses on microloans. And the main reason why is because of the digital wallet. Hmm. If you don't pay us back, your wallet's flagged. You cannot go get another loan. In America, you can get, 3, 4, 5 credit cards before they chase you down. Hey. But in Kenya, one bad loan can stop you from getting another.
And really, because they probably don't have the liberal bankruptcy laws that we have in the United States.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So they have an army of Guidos going out and finding the bad loans.
Well, culturally, they don't want to lose face. No, we don't care about losing face anymore here, but they do. Yeah, this would work in America.
And it's a digital wallet. Mm-hmm. You have to use that digital wallet to pay. So if flag, if you're a bad borrower, you're not going to get another loan. So that's what really keeps the society in a better payment overall. Now, there are, you know, loans where the banking sector actually is having a bigger problem of a non-payment than the microfinance sector.
Okay, Dan, there's a couple things I want to say, but I don't think I can. How much are we doing per month in loans?
We do over in Africa, we're doing about $125 million a month in microfinance loans.
Wow. What's the average loan amount?
$19. So that means we're doing between 6 and 7 million loans a month.
And can you imagine all the people that Danny could sell stone and tile to?
Oh my!
If he opened up stores in what is it, Nairobi?
Well, here's the Barry. You're right. Their testimony is our testimony.
Yeah. Well, listen, Dan. Thanks for calling in and giving us the compliance scoop on this.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah,
and Danny. Thank you for coming in. We'll do this again after September 1st. I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted, all right?
Folks, thank you, Barry, so much for bringing us down today.
Thank you. Thank you both. And, folks, I'll look forward to seeing you at the fair and be back behind the microphone on September 1st. So thanks so much. Have a great summer vacay.
You too.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.